Yes, you are in church this morning. And thank you especially to Cynthia Odom, who's our lead singer. Also, her husband, Tom, is on the guitar and the electric guitar, his son, Josh, on the bass there, and the rest of our Christchurch band. Just amazing, the talent that God has blessed us with. We are incredibly blessed. You know what? Why do we hear the classic wrong song, Peace of Mind? And that's because today begins a brand new series called Faith Rocks. You know, I kind of hate to have to follow that, actually, because it's probably going to seem flat after hearing that amazing rendition of Peace of Mind. You know, each of your pastors over the next 5 weeks throughout August are going to be preaching one of John Wesley's most famous sermons. He had 53 famous sermons. We're going to be preaching one of those per week for 5 weeks, and we're pairing them with a classic rock song that goes along with the theme of one of John Wesley's sermons. Well, today, of course, is this song Peace of Mind by Boston in the 1970s. In fact, it was recorded in 1976. It's interesting that Pastor Todd and I have to remind Pastor Tony and HK that once upon a time, long time before they were born, there was actually a year called 1976. But you know, the 1970s was a decade of unrest, right? I mean, if you lived through it, you know it. Yeah, I was 16 years old when the song came out. I had just got my driver's license when the song came out. But I know it was a decade of unrest. There was racial unrest, there was political unrest, there was financial unrest that was going on. And the band Boston touched on that unrest that the nation was feeling. And the key line in that song is, all I want is to what? Do you remember? Have my peace of mind. Yes, all I want is to have my peace of mind. Let's say that together. All I want is to have my peace of mind. That's right. So what in the world does peace of mind mean? Well, peace of mind is calmness. It's tranquility. Peace of mind is freedom from worry and anxiety. That's what the band Boston was singing. That's what John Wesley was talking about as well. And so to understand where he was coming from, you know, from 1976, we got to go back 200 years. In fact, we got to go back more than 200 years to hear what Wesley has to say. You know, John Wesley was an ordained pastor in the Church of England. In the Church of England, he desired to serve God. You know, he really wanted to be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. The problem was for John Wesley that he only knew God up here in his head, and he didn't have any relationship. He didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ in his heart. And that was a major, major problem. You know what it did? It left him restless. It left him looking for peace. In fact, all he wanted was to what? You know it, have his peace of mind. That's what he was longing for. That's what he wanted. So he was restless back home in England. He wanted something he just didn't understand why. He went through all the motions. He did everything that he was supposed to do. He simply never met Jesus in here. And so he was so restless that when the chance came, when the opportunity came for him to leave England and sail to the New World, which is now the United States, it was then the settlement or the colony of Georgia, it's of course the state of Georgia right now, in the city of Savannah, when he had a chance to go, he had a chance to be a missionary in Savannah, Georgia. And he jumped at the opportunity. And he said in his own words, this was his opportunity to convert the heathens. The problem was, John Wesley hadn't been converted himself. And he was restless. He had no peace, and all he wanted was to have his peace of mind. And unfortunately, his ministry there in Savannah was an utter failure. In fact, here it is, a statue of John Wesley in Reynolds Square in Savannah, Georgia, even today. But it was an utter failure. His ministry was an utter failure. He was an utter failure. In fact, I hadn't planned to tell you this, but I am going to tell you. He had to escape by the dark of night out of Savannah, Georgia, to get to the docks in order to get on a ship at the very last minute to get him out and sail him back to England. It was a terrible, terrible time. But when he returned, he had been invited to this Bible study. And it was on Aldersgate Street in London. And when he was there, and this is how the Holy Spirit works. When he was there, the leader of the Bible study was reading the preface, not even the words of the Gospel of Romans, the book of Romans, but the preface to the book of Romans. And John Wesley said, "I felt my heart." Does anybody know what the famous words are? "I felt my heart strangely warmed." He said, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for my salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had saved me, even me. Those were his words. He wrote them down in his diary when he got back. And from that moment, his entire life was changed. He had this powerful personal encounter with the Holy Spirit, and he was ever changed as a follower of Christ. And finally, he received the peace of Christ in his heart. He had the peace that he had longed for. And so it was on August 24th, 1744, that he preached the sermon I'm going to be telling you about today. You see, Wesley was invited to preach back at his seminary or his college. It's Oxford University. You probably heard of it. Oxford University in Oxford, England. He went to seminary there. He was educated there. I mean, John Wesley was a very smart man. He was incredibly well educated. And his professors, hearing about his experiences and so forth there in Savannah, Georgia, had invited him to preach to all of his former seminary professors, all the current faculty and staff, and all the student body at Oxford University. Now, John Wesley, when he preached this sermon, because he felt his professors utterly failed him by failing to prepare him for ministry, by failing to introduce him to the Holy Spirit. And so John Wesley bluntly, powerfully confronted his professors from the pulpit of St. Mary's Chapel, right here, standing in this pulpit and that space. All in here was, if you can picture it in your mind, all his professors, all the faculty at Oxford gathered here, the current student body gathered in that chapel, and he is blasting them for their utter failure to introduce him to the power of the Holy Spirit and prepare the next generation of pastors for ministry. And so he entitled his message Scriptural Christianity, because he continued to say that his professors failed to teach scriptural Christianity and prepare the next generation. And so he stood in that pulpit and he began like this. The scripture today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 4, verse 31. And it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, these same words can be found in the second chapter of Acts, and they say this. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Now, when he finished reading, he wanted to make a point. And the point was that God has sent the Holy Spirit, but not everybody has these miraculous gifts like speaking in tongues and working miracles and being able to interpret prophecy and all of that. But yet, the Holy Spirit has come to give a gift to every last believer. Every believer needs to have the infilling, the indwelling, the filling of the Holy Spirit in order to know Jesus from your head to your heart. And he was trying to make this point, but here was the problem. During that time, most of the theological mind said, well, the Holy Spirit was only for the early church who gave these miraculous kind of gifts in order to build up the early church. But now that we're in the 1700s and now that we are sophisticated people, we don't need the Holy Spirit. That it was the prevailing thought theologically during Wesley's time. And Wesley knew that was wrong. So he said to his professors and everybody else out there, yes, it's true that in that time and in that place, the Holy Spirit imparted to the disciples the miraculous gift of speaking in tongues. But I ask you, did the Holy Spirit give to every believer the extraordinary and miraculous gifts when the Holy Spirit came upon them? That is, did every believer receive the gift of healing or the working of miracles or prophecy or tongues or the interpretation of tongues? The answer is no. Search the scriptures for yourself. The Holy Spirit did not come to impart miraculous and extraordinary gifts to every believer. So this now begs the question, my friends, for what purpose has the Holy Spirit come? I suggest to you that the Holy Spirit has come for a more excellent and a more essential purpose than those extraordinary gifts. The Holy Spirit has come to give every believer the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. That everybody may know Christ, to be like him. He's come to fill every believer with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. He has come to give every one of us the fruit of the Spirit, the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. And so John Wesley started his sermon like this because what he had discovered was that peace of mind comes by having the peace of Christ. Peace of mind comes by having the peace of Christ. And you can't have the peace of Christ until you come to know the Holy Spirit. You cannot have the peace of Christ until you come to know the Holy Spirit. You cannot be filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, until you come to know the Holy Spirit. And until you know the Holy Spirit, you will never have peace of mind. And that was John Wesley, beginning of the message. And then he begins his first point, that every believer receives the Holy Spirit. Here, write this down. Every believer receives the Holy Spirit when they accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now, let me tell you, that was news to the professors because they didn't necessarily agree with that. They thought the Holy Spirit's job had been done, completed. It was over with the early church. But John Wesley knew in his heart that that was not true, that the Holy Spirit has come and gives, everyone receives the Holy Spirit the moment they say yes to Jesus. You see, Wesley gave them this example. He said, suppose you were in Jerusalem on a day that Peter was preaching, on the day of Pentecost, and you heard Peter preach, you were convicted of your sin, you repented, you received faith in Christ, and then what happened? Then the Holy Spirit came. And everyone received the Holy Spirit. They had the witness of the Spirit. In other words, why do you think the early church was so bold in their statement of faith? Why do you believe that they were so brave? How could they say with certainty and conviction that I am a child of God and it is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me? How could they stand up to the persecution? How could they stand up to the ridicule? They were only able to do it because they had received the Holy Spirit. That's what changed them. That's what changes their lives. You see, church, listen to me now. This is the very essence of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. The very essence of the Christian faith is knowing Christ not simply here, academically, but knowing Christ here. Having Him change your heart and change your life. In fact, the Scriptures tell us this from Romans 5:1. He says, we have been made right with God because of our faith. So we have, look what it says. We have what? We have peace with God. Why? How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, folks, in other words, you and I, we're no longer enemies with God when we experience the Holy Spirit, when we have the indwelling of the Spirit. We're no longer God's enemies. We have peace with God, and we have peace of mind because we have peace of God. And how do we get the peace of God? We get the peace of God when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. We have the peace of God, the peace of Christ, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, folks, now, I want you to get the picture again. Let's put the picture of, here he is, up here in the pulpit, all his seminary professors, the faculty, the staff of Oxford University gathered there, the entire next generation of students were there in the chapel, and he is preaching, and he is telling his seminary professors how people in the early church became Christians, followers of Christ, by receiving the Holy Spirit. Now, as you can imagine, this really isn't going over very well. Okay? And I want to tell you, just as an aside, after he finished this message, and we're just now getting going, but after he finished the message, he was never, ever invited back to preach at Oxford again. Because he was telling his seminary professors how they had utterly failed to prepare him for ministry of any kind because he had no peace of mind because he had met Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And so he continues with the second point. Here it is. It was God's will for Christianity to spread around the world. All right, so he said first that every believer receives the Holy Spirit when they accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. And then a second point, that it was God's will for Christianity to spread around the world. Now, Wesley told his professors that the early church didn't hide their light of Christ under a bushel. They didn't hide and become shy for sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. The early Christians, in fact, took Christ into the world. They took the words of Jesus seriously. Check this out. Matthew 5:16 says this. You should be a what? You should be a light for other people. You should be a light for other people. So live so they will see the good things you do. Live so they will praise your Father in heaven. Wesley boldly asserted that unlike his professors gathered there at Oxford at St. Mary's Chapel, the early Christians, were not shy to proclaim the salvation of Jesus. They were not afraid to tell others to turn to Christ, to repent of their sin, and escape the wrath that is to come and the fires of hell. And that's what he told them. And he said to his professors, and I quote in modern day language, yes, people were offended to hear that back then, just like many of you are offended to hear it from me today. But yet, Christianity spread around the world because of the change that happened in the lives of people through the power of the Holy Spirit, went from person to person, place to place, and country to country. And he said to them, why and how did Christianity spread like wildfire around the world? How did it happen? And he told them that it happened because of the change that people saw, the change that took place in those who professed to know Jesus. And what kind of change took place? I'll tell you exactly what kind of change took place. Here it is. Put it on the screen. They began to act like followers of Jesus. That's the change that took place in their life. Why did Christianity spread around the world? Because the world saw that people were actually different. They saw that people were actually changed. And what was that change that people saw? They saw that they began to act like followers of Jesus. That was the change. And so what did Micah say? The prophet Micah, he said this, and what does the Lord require of you? He was telling his professors, and what does the Lord require of you? Let's read it together. Ready? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. Yeah, to act justly. What does that mean? To do the right thing, to live in peace, to do no harm to others, to be honest and trustworthy in all your ways. To love mercy. What does that mean? To be kind and compassionate to others, not to allow hurtful and harmful things to come out of your mouth, to no longer seek revenge because you understand that revenge belongs to the Lord, to realize that every one of us have sinned, including every one of us here. We have all sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard, and we all need the mercy of God. And to walk humbly with God, to put away your arrogance and to know that peace of mind comes when you have the peace of Christ. And you can never have the peace of Christ until you come to know the Holy Spirit. To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God, that's what a Christian life is to look like. You know, I was thinking about this message and realizing that Wesley had the nerve, the guts, to chastise the most brilliant theological minds of his day. I mean, the most brilliant theological people were seated below him listening to one of their students chastise them for failing to teach the next generation of pastors really what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I want you to listen to this quote. He said, as he was bringing this sermon to an end, he said, look, you respected teachers, you are especially called to shape the tender minds of young people, dispelling them from darkness of ignorance and error and informing them about salvation. But are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you filled with the fruits of the Spirit that your important office so absolutely requires? Is your heart made perfect with God and full of love and zeal for establishing the kingdom on earth? Do you constantly remind those under your care that the one intelligent goal of all of our students is to know, love, and serve the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom God has sent. Do you daily impress upon others, your students, the fact that love never fails? Do you press home the truth that without love, all learning is simply showy ignorance and self-importance foolishness? Is it your wish and your work that wherever these young soldiers of Christ may go, that they may become burning and shining lights in every way, making attractive the teaching of the gospel of Christ? Now, by this time, his professors were gasping for air as Wesley was calling out their failure to teach the students about Jesus. And then Wesley delivers the final blow with these words. Is it possible that one of the consequences of your sin is that many of you belong to a generation of triflers? Triflers with God and triflers with one another and even triflers with your own souls. How few of you spend even a single hour in private prayer? How few of you even talk about God in your general conversation? Do you know anything about the Holy Spirit? In the name of the Lord Almighty, I ask, what religion are you? Is it any wonder that Wesley was never invited back? But you know something? Maybe he could have said it a little differently, but he was actually right. Scriptural Christianity is about a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit. That's how it works. And you know what? You can't leave out any of those. It's a relationship with God our Father through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and made possible only because of the Holy Spirit. And the only reason Wesley could preach this, you know why? Is because he had the peace of mind that he had longed for, that he had wanted, that he had prayed for, but he could never get because he had never yet met the Holy Spirit. He didn't even know. He was a pastor in the Church of England. He was a missionary to the colony of Georgia, and he had never once been introduced to the Holy Spirit. But once he met Jesus through the Holy Spirit, his entire life changed. He was forever changed. And it was only, I know this may sound dramatic, but I want to say this very carefully. You and I would likely not be here in this space today if John Wesley had not had a powerful personal encounter with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because a short time later, John Wesley sent some missionaries back to the United States or to the colonies and began to share Jesus with the people of the 13 colonies. And what became of that is who we are today as a part of the United Methodist Church. If it weren't for the power of the Holy Spirit igniting a flame in John Wesley, you and I may not know Jesus. And so I want to end with these questions for you. John Wesley shared some of these questions, and that is, how do you see Christians acting in the world today? Do you know that they have truly been changed by the way they act? If you claim to be a Christian, do you act justly? Do you love mercy? Do you walk humbly with God? Do you have the peace of mind that you have so longed for because you have the peace of Christ? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Can you really say, that you love God and love others and live out the gospel life? Where are those Christians who clothe themselves with compassion and kindness and humility and patience? Folks, listen to me clearly. This is John Wesley speaking, but it's also your pastor. If we can't find scriptural Christianity here in the church, how can you and I ever expect to find genuine scriptural Christians in society? If we are not genuine here, if you can't find genuine Christians here, how can we ever expect the world to know that Jesus Christ is Lord? How can we ever have peace in our world unless we know the peace of Christ? How can we have peace of mind? Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, today we come together in prayer seeking something that has eluded many of us, and that is peace of mind. We want that peace of mind, Lord. We've sought it, we've prayed for it. But for many of us, peace of mind has eluded us. And today we understand that the reason why peace of mind eludes us is that we have failed to know you through your Holy Spirit. We have not yet been filled with your Holy Spirit. And so today, we, the people of Christ Church, come seeking this infilling of your Spirit today. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us now, Lord. Fill us now with your holy presence. Wrap your arms around us, Lord. Lord, give us that holy calling to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you. All we want, Lord, is to have our peace of mind. And we know, Lord, that that comes by knowing you and by being filled with your Holy Spirit. So come now, Lord, as we breathe in now. May your Holy Spirit fill our lungs and fill us from the bottom of our feet to the top of our head. And we pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen.